On page 52, the draft annual business plan and the draft long-term financial plan, a draft for public consultation. I note that it's based on a proposed average rate increase of 2.75%. Anyone? Councillor Valescu.
Happy to move as is. We can get feedback on the amounts and that at a, from the public and discuss that later on.
Is that seconded? A question? Councillor Hull?
The actual rate increase is only one part of it. The other thing that we need to know is, just very quickly, Mr. Barmore, any significant increase in fees and charges that might coincide with this?
Mr. Barnwell?
Sorry, just can you just clarify the fees and charges? What fees
are you? The entry fee to the pool, or, you know, go to the Cowinda, or all
sure,
that
the,
sort of
the
stuff.
Fees and charges schedule will be coming through to the next council meeting, which will incorporate all that information. They should list it out for you. Well, there's no significant changes. Yeah.
And now, looking for a seconder, Councillor Pfeiffer, or did you have a question? Question? Yep, keep going with the questions. Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I was just wondering through you whether we've done any sort of sensitivity analysis on the commercial industrial, specifically rating differential. We're suggesting, or we're currently charging 85% more for a commercial property or 65% more for an industrial property. In the current climate, I mean, we talk about rates all the time. We're always talking about rates. We're always talking about affordability for people to pay rates. Someone needs to pay these people for them to be able to pay rates. So this is where the economy kicks in. It is a question. I want to know whether we can do some sensitivity analysis to actually start taking some burden away from these hideously struggling businesses and you know, see how else we can...
Order. You get straying into debate there. Just put it to staff whether work has been done on sensitivity to the loading for commercially rated premises. Anyone? Councillor, Mr. Barnwell.
Through the chair, we are currently doing some modelling on that. This budget it won't impact on the net funding position within the budget. Obviously, it impacts on the distribution of rates. But currently working on existing rates similar to last year, apart from the vacant land rate, which is going to increase from 90% to 100%. That's indicative figures at the moment. But we can certainly bring that information back to you on the distribution.
Before I go to Councillor Gard, I also have a question. A suggestion was put to staff that there should be a similar loading for primary production premises. We only have a few of them, and possibly with an exemption for primary production premises which have horse adjustment or the like. We know we have a few places like that which might be residences simultaneously. What work's been done on that? Mr. Barnwell?
To the chair, we've been doing some indicative modelling on that. We've modelled a 30% primary production differential rate. It's made a very minor impact on it. It's something in the region of $6,000, which is actually over the overall rating.
That would be the additional revenue, but
it's a distribution of revenue to primary production as opposed to anywhere else. It won't be additional revenue.
Not additional.
Yeah. It'd be a redistribution.
Redistribution of revenue, rather. But has any consultation taken place at this stage, or are you waiting for tonight's motion to be passed?
Yes, no consultation has taken place with the community on that.
Other questions before we get to a seconder? Councillor Gard.
Thank you, Your Worship. I sent an email out to Mrs. Skull and MIFSD this afternoon or this morning, forget which, regarding my thought that we needed a clear association between projections for resident increases through urban infill and our budgetary projections. And so my question is, do we have, in fact, an adequate association there, having regard for the fact that we are looking at some 12,000, by my estimates, new dwellings between now and the 10th year of our budgetary projections? And I am aware that we've had discussion before about the appertaining costs of urban infill in the form of infrastructure, etc. But notwithstanding that, I feel that we need to be clear about the grosses, the actual revenue increase we expect versus the expenditure increases that we might also expect that are appertaining. Can you comment there, Mr. Bell?
Through the Chair. We have, within our long-term plan, we have a built-in 1% growth. That's based on historical figures, which for the last 10 years, on average, are 0.99%, so it's pretty accurate. Going forward, obviously, if you're predicting 12,000 properties, you're talking about maybe 2% per year. But we're basing our figure on the more conservative growth, which is the actual growth over the last 10 years, and we feel that's going to, should it be better, obviously, we're in a better position for that. The 1% revenue would be somewhere in the region of $642,000 growth.
Or ask if a notation could be made in the same sense that we make notations about CPI assumptions, that is in fact the basis for our projection, because I fancy that it could be something that we will have to review. I hope we do have to review it. But it would just be useful historically to know how we fathomed it in 2016-17.
Councillor Gard, just before that's answered, obviously there's a draft document that's virtually ready, subject to this evening, ready to go out to the public. Councillor Gard, are you happy for that sort of explanation to be added to the document before it comes back as a draft after consultation? Or do you want to change that document that goes
no,
out?
No, I'd be most happy to wait, Your Worship. As long as it appears in there, I think it would be very helpful.
So can staff take that on board?
Yes, we can take that on board, certainly.
Mr. Mifsud would like to add?
Just very quickly, through the Chair, the document already clearly states on a number of occasions that the growth assumption of Council is 1%. So that's already stated through the document.
No, sorry, the point of the question was the justification for that assumption. And that's where it needs a little bit of elaboration. So if that could be done, that we've got, when we have the next iteration, we don't necessarily have to write it on the spot. Are there any other questions, Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, just a point of clarification, if I may. I'm aware that we've made probably about 460,000 in budget savings last year, and that hopefully they're budget savings that will carry forward into future years. With the 2.75% proposed, none of that surplus funds that we've achieved seem to be going back to residents. Can you just confirm that if we did a rate close to 2.5%, that's only returning roughly 340,000 back to residents of that surplus budget?
Mr. Barnwell. Take your time to work through the figures. It's a good question.
Sorry, just through the Chair. In reducing the rate from 2.75 to 2.5% next year would be only in the region of $170,000, which would be...
So I was looking at 2.5 and 2.25, so 0.5%.
Essentially, it's about 662,000 for one full percent. So obviously, if we reduce it for that, we can take those savings back to the community.
So my point is, if we were going to reduce the rate by the budget savings amount, we could easily reduce it to 2.25, which is getting close to the lower rate that many of councillors are trying to achieve.
through the chair, yes, that's possible, yeah.
Can I just clarify with Mr. Barnwell, those figures, are they for 1 year or every year for which that percentage
that's just
applies?
For 1 year, those figures, that's for 1 year.
Just clarification. Other questions? Councillor Valescu?
Well, on that, does that mean that on page 59 there's a little rate modelling? Does that mean that 2.25 would result in a $23.6 million funding deficit in the 10-year long-term financial plan?
Sorry, we'd have to work that out. That's a compounding effect, so you can't just double that figure that's there. We'd have to actually work out the compounding effect over the 10 years, which we can certainly bring those numbers back to you.
So it would be more than the $23 million, if you think compounding's an issue.
I can't clarify the exact figure at this point. We'd have to actually model that and see what the actual.
What I want to know is, like, if would it be more? Would it be?
We've got two figures in that graph: 2.75% modelling, 2.5%. Clearly, there's a deficit at the end of the 10 years. If you adopted the 2.5%, if you cut another 0.25% off the rate. And it's not a linear relationship, we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Would you expect the compounding to make it more of a deficit or less of a deficit?
There would be obviously a more of an impact on funding. So there would sort of be more
something
of a
more than double.
Yeah.
Right. That answers Councillor Lesley's question. Councillor Hull.
I'll direct this question to you, Mr. Mayor. In terms of reaching that sweet point where we can satisfy ourselves and the community that we've kept the rates to the lowest point. The sweet point is when you actually do that and also meet community expectations with number of toilets they want, a foreshore upgrade, a new plaza development, whatever's on your bucket list. Would it be fair to say that that we're actually quite close to doing that, and any significant variation from that sweet point would be detrimental to actually delivering? Because in my experience on council, and this is where I'm channeling with you, Mr. Mayor, is that the challenge for all councils is not only to keep it affordable, but to also deliver. To actually deliver the amenity that people want, and if you don't get it both right,
if you could, rather than a political speech, if you could clarify the question,
I'd just like to know whether you agree with me.
Well, I think it's relevant to your question that council is actually in comparatively good financial position. It was very significant that the sports hub improvements, both north and south of the city, that we decided we would provide about a year ago, can actually be afforded with really quite low level of borrowing over the next number of years. So we're in a position where, and that was modelling that was done on a 2.5% rate rise over the years of the financial plan. So that was a significant piece of modelling which said that we can still cut rates a bit further and yet supply the things we've actually decided to do. The rider to that would be that it wouldn't leave much room for a number of other upgrades or new facilities, whether it be additions to local sports clubs, extra features in reserves, etc., etc. So, look, as you know, it's a balancing act, and there are a variety of views around the Chamber. They're all equally valid views. Some people want to provide a bit more, some people want to cut rates a bit less. They're all valid views, and it'll come out in the resolutions, which we need to get on with. Mr. Mifsud?
Thank
you. Do you want to answer my question any further?
I'd just like to add to it, if I may. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. The other thing I'd like to highlight to members, in addition to what Mayor Hannah's just quite accurately summed up for you, is the big risk for this council and every council in this state is if there's a change in state government at the next election and rate capping comes in, because the compounding impact that we're all talking about will have a massive effect. Because you're talking currently at the level of CPI thereabouts, 1%. So if that does come in, those funding capacities that we quite rightly do have at this point in time are going to vanish overnight.
Well, thank you for being more political than I was ever prepared to be in the chair. I know that was, I meant that you meant that in a very apolitical way, but it would have certain political implications. Councillor Crossland, a question?
Yeah, one further question. And can you confirm that with the 10-year long-term financial plan, the assumption has been made that Council will make no more budget savings during that period?
Mr. Barnwell, I mean, have you anticipated any unanticipated savings?
We haven't anticipated any further savings, but obviously ongoing savings will always be part of budget focus each year.
I think there's a resolution somewhere to look for, what, $2 million savings each year or something, isn't there? Mr. Mipson?
It's an excellent question. I think that, if I may, through the chair, we've got a strong focus on continual improvement. It's a very strong focus of the executive management team led by the CEO and the senior management team. So every year the budget and the long-term plan gets reviewed and updated accordingly. So it's an ongoing process and it won't stop.
Councillor Crossland, you're
just to verify, it's just to verify my point. There is a 0.25 reduction in the rate is for council to find another 172,000 in savings. That's all, as an ongoing
comment rather than a question. Is that well, Mr. Barnwell, comment?
Yeah, obviously. Council will endeavour to find those savings within the budget.
That's about all he can say, I think. And let's have questions as fact-finding questions rather than springboards for comments. There are worse offenders than Councillor Crossland around. Councillor Blescu?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
My fact-finding questions are, does this include the asset renewal that we need to do in places like the, the coastal walk? Does it include everything we need to do in drainage? Does it include everything we need to do in footpaths? Does it include anything to do with some of the basic streetscape stuff? So some of those items that have already been identified by the audit committee over the last couple of years, do we have a shortfall? And how is this budget and the long-term financial plan seeking to address that shortfall?
Mr. Barnwell?
Through the chair, the indicative, we're in the process of integrating those numbers from the asset management plans into the long-term plan. It's a very complex process and it will take some time to do it. But as we identify those, we will certainly be able to report on if there is any shortfalls or gaps which were previously identified in the other committee reports.
And, well, we have identified that there's a long-term asset management renewal deficiency, haven't we? $10 million, I think, over 10 years? For buildings. Thank you. So this budget takes account of that, does it, when it talks about the 10-year funding variance, Mr. Barnwell?
It's still recognised that difference is there until we fully integrate those numbers and we have final figures on the buildings asset management plans.
Okay.
We haven't put any additional funding to cover that gap at this point in time until we have full clarification of those numbers. It's an indicative number over 10 years, which we don't have full clarification of yet.
Mind the gap. If it's any comfort, the asset management, what do you call it? The asset sustainability ratio of a lot of other similar councils is much worse, if that's any comfort. I think I'm after a seconder to the motion at this point. Councillor Hull.
Yeah, look, I'm happy to do that. How far we've come since months before the last election where I really need to be kinder than I was setting out to be, Mr. Mayor. But
yes, be kind. Please yeah, do. Don't reflect on anyone in the course of your contribution.
No. But we've come so far, and I've never felt so comfortable in terms of the rating position as I have right now with the past year and going forward with this. You know, some people won't agree with this because they went out there and said they wanted to have a CPI rise. Okay, fair enough. I accept that. However, to get that sweet point, I'll go back to that sweet point again, of actually delivering and keeping the rates to a level where you get minimal concern in the pecking order when the media portrays the councils as they do about rate rises. We're in a comfort zone. You know, we're delivering and actually getting away with a low rate. And that's a great place to be. It really is. I wouldn't like to see it go any less than that 2.75, because now that these new councils have been blooded, you know, they know how it works. They know that if we don't have the money, you can't deliver that toilet block. You might have to pinch one from somewhere else and upset another councillor, another ward, who likes to look after a taxi driver. But, you know...
It's me, Your Worship.
You know, like...
point of order, Councillor Valescu, stop the clock.
Your Worship, at the beginning you said people weren't being referred to, and I understand that that's a comment directly to what I was inquiring about. I think that comment was directed about me.
Councillor Hull, do you wish to withdraw that and move on?
Redact the word? I'm redacting it.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Good. Move
Keep
forward.
Going.
But this is where we end up. We end up tearing ourselves to pieces because we don't have that little bit of extra resources to deliver. You know, we're pinching Peter and paying Paul and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I just don't think it's a good place for us to be. It's still not going to cater for everything. It's certainly not going to build your basketball stadium, Mr. Mayor, because that's going to take a lot more. But, you know, we shouldn't be quibbling over somewhere for somebody to, wash their hands and do whatever else they do. So, and particularly in a safe environment where, you know, they don't have to worry about undue, inappropriate activity in the community. So, you know, I just think that this is the way to go. I think we'll probably never get recognised for the achievement that we're actually making. And when I think back that we were around about almost double this in earlier parts of my council career, Mr. Mifsud's hit a good point. It's actually put us in a position where we can do this now. We've played out and we've got this collateral.
Is there anyone is opposing the motion?
I moved it and I didn't get to speak.
I beg your pardon. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I just wanted to clarify. I think Councillor Crossland is right in us wanting to give our savings back to the community. But I think we do have the expectation to deliver. And the way that I see it is that if we make savings, as long as we're careful with that money and ploughing it back into what we provide for our community, then that savings, that is money, extra money we do not have to ask for. I also agree with Councillor Crosland that we would be looking at ongoing savings, but we can't rely on them. Mr. Barnswell has just told us that we have gaps in the funding for our essential assets, not the stuff that, you know, is nice to have, but the stuff we have to have. It's probably in the order of, you know, two-digit millions, you know, 10 million more, and it's not in this budget. So for us to try to save the average ratepayer $4.60 a year and in the end end up with $11 million less over the long-term financial plan, until we know how we're going to fund those things, I do have those reservations. I also think that the more efficient we become, the better we can demonstrate to all level, all sides of government that we don't need their I guess nanny approach to how funding and also our rates. I remind members that we have about 4% of funding and about 90% of the infrastructure or something like that that we have to fund is local government. Now, I do also recognise that the rate increases is another bill that our residents have to have. And being in another job, I haven't seen a pay rise for 18 months. And there'd be other people in that situation as well. So, you know, it is getting tougher out there, but I think ultimately we add value to what we provide to our community. So I do urge members to put this out there at the 2.75%. If there's significant community response to this, you know, we can look at lowering it and then ask the community what, you know, needs to be removed in that case. We have to consider that there are some expenses that we can't. We've got EBs, we've got certain obligations. We can't, you know, cut certain expenses as easily as perhaps the community would like us to. So there are a lot of considerations. Let's put this out to the community. They can comment otherwise. Thank you.
Now, was there anyone speaking against the motion? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. Thank you. So we move on to the next item of business, which is page 89 of the agenda, the Marion Cultural Centre Plaza. Can I just start if there are any questions? Councillor Blescu?
It's probably not appropriate for me to move the motion, but I did have a question if we can actually include some funding for signage in this. I want to get an idea of how much signage would cost for something like that. I don't know if anyone can give us any guidance for around the facility and around the domain area. It just seems like a really obvious thing that's been left out of the motion.
It's a bit like
and that feedback has been provided to David Barrett through at least I know the gallery, and no doubt from others.
Right, it's a bit sort of how much do you want to spend, but we might get some guidance, Ms. Dixon.
Through the chair, I actually just had a conversation with staff down when council was considering the previous agenda item, and I don't have the figure of what signage would cost, but we believe we can address that within operational budgets, so we will build that in.
Mr. Skull.
If I may, through the chair, we've actually set the wheels in motion to get signage for the Cove Civic Centre as well as the Marion Cultural Centre and the Park Home Library, because none of them have any sign to say that there's a library there, let alone it's in the Marion Cultural Centre, a cafe and a gallery.
I can say that elected members are looking forward very much to seeing the draft marketing plan come to council. It will probably need to be a very big volume. Questions, Councillor Hull.
The signage. Now, I got a bit concerned when you started talking about, well, nobody knows the Park Home Library is there. Are we talking about some street signs that are stuck on a stobie pole? Is that what you're talking about? Or
I think the idea is marketing what's inside the facility. That's really the issue.
So we're talking about some street signs that says, like, you know, down this way is a library.
Well, that could be it.
Now, with the cultural centre, the plaza, we're talking about a street sign, which you get done at the depot. Or we're talking about LED sign or something a bit more contemporary and obvious?
I think rather the question is, clearly there's some interest in signage. What would be the best way to make progress with getting some appropriate signage? I mean, do members, I'm being informal here, but do members just want staff to go away and get some costings and bring back a report? Whatever happens with this report. Or just do it, as they say. Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, I would expect that to be just a normal course of staff function to just go away, do what they think's appropriate.
All right. Mr. Skull, what do you say?
We'll bring them back to you if we want to, but it's not going to be a street blade sign. It'll be along the lines of what we've got for the suburb signs, so it's something that looks attractive, stands out, which it does, and lots of people comment on it. And we want to say there's a really funky cafe in here and a library, come on in.
Mr. Mayor, could I suggest that something more appropriate would be an LED sign, which you actually would have on what is playing at the theatre?
Sorry, we're getting into debate. This is question time at the moment. Staff can take that on board, that some LED signage should be considered in the mix. And if there's anything that might be controversial or expensive, it'll come back to council. Councillor Pryor, a question?
Yeah, just a quick one. Did Tony offer anything about the plaza upgrade?
Through the chair. So there was high-level discussion with Mr. Hoffa in terms of the concept designs council's considering tonight, which was around increased shade through use of umbrellas, cafe seating, and the trees as well. I know after his deputation tonight, Ms. Hampton had further discussion around that, and we would make sure that the positioning of them also worked for the cafe operations. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. I do have a question myself. If I look on I'm not sure if it's page 93, but it's where you have the coloured... That's right, page 93, you have some coloured images of what is intended to be placed on the plaza. Those little plastic blocks, is there any evidence that people actually sit on those?
Through the chair, I assume the concept designs have been designed by our landscape architect staff. They would be aware of other improvements have happened in public spaces, so I assume that they would be well used, but I can take that on notice and just ensure that they will be.
Questions? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. Was any costings or consideration to actual sales, multi-coloured sales or something, which would be a little bit more attractive because that building looks pretty awful?
Sales, Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair, from memory, I think the cost of installing sales was beyond the $40,000 in the budget. Yeah.
Do you recall what the costing was?
I'd need to take that on notice, but I can circulate that.
A question from Councillor Gard.
Yes, I was just wanting to ask how developed the trees would be as they go in, because as we know, there's trees and there's trees. I would hope that they would be trees that are fairly advanced. Yeah.
Through the chair, so they would be mature trees, height 8 to 10 metres. Width 6 to 8.
A question from Councillor Hull.
Ms. Dixon, in fact, maybe I'll go up another level to the director on this, Mr. Lyons. $40,000 budget. In the report, it talks about the master plan that was done, which was $75,000. So we've spent more money on the master plan than we have on what's being implemented in this motion anyway. And one of those toilet modules is $60,000. So one of those toilet modules actually costs more than what's proposed in an upgrade for our plaza.
So the question?
So I'm just asking whether those figures that I'm quoting are correct.
Either staff. I think Ms. Dixon has the answer for you or something like that.
Through the chair, can I just clarify, Councillor Hull, so you're just querying around the money that was spent previously on the master plan, was $75,000.
Just want an opinion as to whether those figures I just quoted are actually correct.
On page 90 of the report?
On page 90 of the report.
On page 90 of the report, third line down, $75,000 to undertake a competition and master plan. So we spent more money on the master plan than we ultimately spend on the project itself, on infrastructure.
Correct.
And one of those modular toilets.
I think we better get on with a motion and deal with it in debate. Anyone to move? Anything? Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, I'm moving this because apparently this is as good as it gets. But, you know, when I was on the previous council, we had grander plans. There's no doubt about that. It's in the report. And it's interesting that some of the councillors back then who are, again, on this council, spoke vehemently vehemently against spending any money on the Cultural Centre Plaza. Okay, I accept that. So we ended up taking a fallback position. Councillor Pryor and ourselves sort of tried to cobble together the best possible case, given what was obvious that the budget would be tolerated. This is it. And now we're hearing talk about sales and signage and everything else, and all legitimate things, Mr. Mayor, but no money. And this is, you know, going back to the previous item, this is the case in question. If you don't have the money, you can't do stuff. Even to a degree when, and there's a counter argument as to why we should be doing it, because time and time again, since I've been on this council, since that cultural centre was built, our cafe operators have continually struggled. Time and time again. There's a conga line of cafe operators that have been come and gone from that facility because in the early days there wasn't much happening there, there was no pool, the Centrelink building hadn't been occupied. It's built up to a point where it does actually help make ends meet. But at the end of the day, we as a council have failed to activate that area over there, which was the grand plan for the council going back to probably 1977 or something like that. Okay, 87. When they started to buy up the land over there to create a civic point for our city. And we still haven't delivered. And we're going to continually wonder why the cafe doesn't work well over there.
Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor, did you wish to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with my co-councillor in that this is probably as good as it gets. I think the just for members' interest, I think the cafe was making a large loss when we were running it, and it's in our interest to keep a viable cafe going there. So I think this is a small contribution to that, and probably we can revisit it at some time in the future.
Is anyone speaking against the motion, Councillor Crossland?
I'm speaking against the motion, although the fact that this was planned in the 70s might explain the design we're looking at. Look, it is a pretty dreadful, awful place. The building is atrocious. I personally don't think that the seating provided or the shade by the trees is going to cut the mustard. I think it's not going to make any difference, sadly. I would rather a design that's got a good chance of working. If it costs a bit more, it costs a bit more, rather than go on something which is a half-hearted attempt, trying to, again, it's a repeat of the dog park. If we're trying to do something and we're only going to spend a low budget, which isn't going to achieve anything, why do it? Rather come up with a design which you're happy with, the operator's happy with, that might even improve the look of the building, come back to us and tell us how much.
Speaking as speakers for or against, Councillor Valesco.
Look, I think we embarked in the last council to look at improving that area. We were thinking of the savings of $160,000 that we were going to no longer have to pay that to run the cafe could go into that. So you're probably looking at around about $1.6 million worth of build. Obviously, those savings were then later put on into other aspects of council. Now, as the plan for the plaza grew and grew, it grew from $2 million to $3 million to anywhere up to $7 million. So at the time, council thought, look, we've got to focus on other things. I think a small step to try to improve the feel and the amenity of it, along with signage, is a positive first step. And, I think that we need to look at it. I think it's not just about the cafe. It's about the whole area, and you know, you've got people using the gallery, you've got people using the library. Probably about a third of our borrowings going through that library, it'll make the place more attractive. So, whilst you know, it was an award-winning design, but I think we may have paid. I could be wrong. We may have paid to get the award, I don't know, or something like that, to be eligible. It's probably needs to be changed a little bit. So I do support this. It's a lot of money, but in the scheme of things, it could be a lot more.
Councillor Valesky, just to clarify that, I do recall, I think it was in the 90s, might be wrong, but that building did win an award, or rather, the architects won an award from a panel of other award-winning architects. Every player wins a prize eventually. Internationally renowned, this building, Mr. Mifsud informs me. I'm not sure what...
With your worship...
Sorry, Councillor Byram, the air conditioning is getting us back on track.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I would have liked to have seen more done in the way of sales and breaking up the outside there and providing more shade, because when you are inside the building, it's very hard for people to sit there at the cafe when the sun's blaring through that window, and it really does need something in that regard. And umbrellas outside don't fix the problem that is internal. However, I will vote for this because I think we need to start and do something. But I would like to see something else come back with looking at sales and something that is going to help with fix that very big looming problem that is there for that site. Thank you.
Perhaps it's something that could be taken up in the Warrakowie ward briefing, as if this gets through, or even if it doesn't, as to other alternatives or additions. Councillor Gard.
I've got some really grave concerns about moving forward with this in general. The main note that I took when Mr. Hoffert was speaking was that awareness of the...
Yes, a point of order is upheld.
Awareness of the Signatures restaurant is very low. And even though it's a much different scale, it reminds me a lot of the Wirina exercise, where huge amounts of money was spent on an exercise that hadn't been properly researched as far as the marketplace demands were concerned. And I have real grievances about spending money on trial and error signage and decoration, etc., if the homework hasn't been done on the marketplace. I think it's something that should have been done years ago and probably wasn't done properly. I'm sure gaps could be identified as to where revenue shortfalls were and how they could be addressed. And I would suggest, from some of the points I made earlier, that there are a number of markets that are approachable. So I think more energy is needed in that direction before we move forward with anything physical, I should say. And so I would be moving for a deferment of this subject to some market research, and that needn't be expensive market research. I think it's simply local research that is needed. Things such as which frontage is to be promoted most as far as getting people to stop, because it's one thing to have an open, welcoming plaza, but it's another thing to stop people in the first place. And the most likely way of doing that is from Diagonal Road and to guide them into the car parking, which is at the other side of the building. Now, these things are all logical to me. I think It's just a matter of strategy. So I hereby move for a deferment of the current motion.
To a particular date?
I think could we say subject to some research being done on the matter?
First and foremost, specific
tactical
date at
research.
This point. Procedurally, has to be a specific date. So,
if we could say
July,
yeah,
maybe
the second meeting in July.
There's only one, makes it easy. Is that seconded? Seconded, Councillor Kerry. Do you wish to speak, Councillor Kerry? All right. We're just putting it to a vote. All those in favour of the deferral, raise your hand. All those against the deferral, raise your hand. The motion is lost. We proceed with the debate. And look, we've had a fair canvassing of views either side, members, so I think it's probably just about time to put it to a vote. Let's bear in mind we've got 25 minutes left of the meeting and we're halfway through the agenda. So if there are no more speakers, back to Councillor Hull to close the debate.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I'm quite chuffed to hear what seems to be a new appetite for this area. Councillor Pryor and I went away after trying to get a better outcome for this area, to go away with staff and work out what we can do with very little, and here we are tonight. Having said that, Mr. Mayor, if the will of the council continues, we can always add to this. We could maybe, at our next ward briefing, don't be surprised that we actually ask the staff to actually start cobbling together something in tune with what you've heard tonight for the next council budget. Okay? So we keep moving forward. You know, like there's a few planter boxes and a couple of plastic seats is not going to be, get in the way of what could happen there. So we're making the most of what we have, and we've only got $40,000. We're making the most of what we have with a building that is an underwhelming building. I remember when Mayor Hannah was the member for Mitchell, he was fairly quite public about how he viewed it as an underwhelming building, and I agree with him. I've often said, Mr. Mayor, that the only reason the council approved the Bunnings building was to make the cultural centre look better. And I still have that view. I am glad the deferral motion failed tonight, because at least something's going to actually happen. We're going to get some rubber on the ground, as is the CEO's terminology, and actually at least start something and build on that. It's good timing right now to actually forecast another item in the budget. The Warrikowie ward hasn't placed many demands on the council budget that are coming. We're looking at a new toilet, maybe, and now something better to happen here. So I urge you to support this, and I'm gratified with a new outlook towards this particular area.
Demands on council time, maybe. But that was an excellent summary. Thank you. I put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. Thank you.
My question is that if they're through you to the general manager operations, that if there are any scoring or data concerns on this irrigation decision support tool, is he prepared to amend the table if it appears to him to be appropriate?
Mr. Lyons?
Councillor Telfer, very happy to amend that, and that could possibly take place in two ways. That could happen very quickly now, if there are any obvious corrections that need to be made, and it can also happen during the course of the year as ward briefings and asset disposals and change in use inform the database and corrects it on an ongoing way.
Are there any other questions before someone moves a motion? No? Well, who would like to move? Councillor Telfer.
I'll move as per the recommendation, but with a score of 14. And I do that because I... Oh, I don't have to talk to that yet. And I'll also move a sixth point, that any scoring or data of concern on the irrigation decision support tool be raised to the general manager operations for staff to consider amendment if appropriate.
And Councillor,
I changed it from May ward briefings. I thought we had enough last discussion, so I've just put in general manager operations instead.
So, Councillor Telfer, would there be different budget figures that you would need to put in, or can I just get some advice on that? They're in there. Page 99 has the alternate budget figures. So can I take it, Councillor Telfer, that your motion would include the budget figures in your second paragraph?
That's correct.
Which match the score of 14?
Yeah.
So I think we can proceed while staff are putting that up. I'll just test the water. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland will come back to you. Councillor Telfer, feel free to speak to the motion.
It was an overwhelming list that we received, the irrigation decision support tool. It is a different, very different list from the list that we had before. I've got about 15 or 16 things that I would like to raise. My main concern is that some of the playgrounds, we had a commitment to those places that have playgrounds having watering near the playgrounds. The list we have is all or nothing. For example, I'll give an example, Kenton Avenue Reserve, Oaklands Park, has a small pocket of green. It's rated very lowly, but obviously that little pocket of green hasn't been considered. Another concern of mine is that I have three listed here in the report or the tool of Sturt, Hawkesbury Reserve, Travis and Meyer. If one of them is appropriately watered, then it may be appropriate for the other two not to be. So that is why I think we need to have comments to the general manager so that he can then sort with staff which of those three are going to be watered, which is a low priority. I was really concerned that one of our reserves, that Chestnut Crescent, that's been decommissioned, is still on the list, higher than some others. And I'm also quite concerned that Market Street is called an entry statement and not a historical site and given a low rating. So I do believe that we need a chance to upgrade the list to what is currently happening in our play spaces commitments and also to be up to touch with our new directions throughout the city.
Telfer, Councillor Crossland.
Yes, similar reasons. There are a number of play spaces that are due to be removed. They're on the irrigation list, which doesn't make any sense. Also confused with why the public rating is a lot higher than the actual functional rating. And also, when you compare like for like, they get a completely different score. One of the ones is a small playground. The equipment is quite old. It's on a 600 metre block. One scores into the irrigation and one scores doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. They're in residential areas, same usage. So question that rating. The outcome I was after was a justification of the old matrix. I expected a line to come out with where we were with the old matrix and then degrees of increasing or lowering. What we've ended up with is huge swathes of irrigation needs, so not a lot again to manoeuvre. It's still back to an all or nothing situation for many of these reserves. So unfortunately I've forced into the 14 score without the possibility of looking at some of the other ones.
Next, but was a sort of a question. Try and make it a real question.
Well, here we go. I'm wondering if we're putting the cart before the horse. I know this is a bit of a rhetorical question, in that we seem to be making a decision on the various options in accordance with the big numbers associated with making reserves and play spaces more functional by way of amenities. Now, are we going to prescription as far as our amenity planning is concerned, or are we making decisions on what we want to spend on irrigation and making it fit by saying, okay, but to qualify we would have to throw down this amount in amenities? To me, it doesn't quite make sense, and it alarms me a little bit that we could make a decision to go, say, for 14, when in any case it's our intention to make the capital expenditures involved in 13 or even 12 level. Can someone possibly answer that? Is my question clear enough? That's the point.
I think I'll take this as your contribution to the debate as well, but I certainly would invite staff to assist you if they can.
Councillor Gard, all of the reserves have at the moment been ranked on their own merits. So the initial assessment was done over a year ago when they were all ranked on natural amenity, developed amenity, community usage and turf function. As you'll appreciate, that process was a little subjective in coming out whether it would be irrigated or not, and so there's an endeavour to have some more rigour around it at the moment. We know that many of these sites will change, so some will in fact have playgrounds removed, and when that happens the ranking will change and they will be removed from that. I think the other important thing to note is that when we look at the spreadsheet, they are coloured in various ways. So the green were the previous irrigated, the yellows were added in December, and all the whites don't in fact have functional irrigating systems. So part of the motion is to add capital to make them irrigating, operationally irrigating, and before we did that we would have to reassess all of the scores to ensure that we should bring them online and irrigate those areas.
Did you have any more?
No, that's
thank
fine.
You. Thank you. So that was really speaking against the motion. Is someone speaking in favour of the motion? Question from Councillor Blesko?
I'm just questioning whether we proceed, because I've got a one in our ward which is a 13, which will miss out under the motion put forward, but 46 to 48 Aldridge Avenue, the comments are...
So, Councillor, what you're identifying is some issues with the scoring, etc. What Councillor Telfer was trying to build into the motion was that we adopt a certain number, but then through the ward briefings use those adjustments with the manager of operations. So rather than going through everybody's individual...
No, but it's wrong. Here, the report's wrong, and this is basically, if I'm correct, as it's a little bit hard to read, but I believe that poor amenity tennis courts in disrepair playgrounds old at Aldridge Avenue, Plimpton Park. That's one we actually updated before the last election, and it's coming up as not being, the courts are in disrepair, and the court, and that it's playgrounds old. there's a new playground there and there's new courts, and one of the things people complained about for that ward was actually the look dying off, and why do we waste all the money on the upgrade? So if that's wrong, and that's pretty significant, what else is wrong on that?
That's a fair comment. These comments and original scores were done over a year ago. You'll notice that that's a green, so it's currently being irrigated, and it would continue to be irrigated if 13 were passed. And all I can say is we would need to check that.
Like, it's on the motion here says 14. So basically what's going to happen, that's going to lose it. And I'm just wondering, if you've got comments on here saying that the poor amenity tennis courts in disrepair, how does that affect the matrix? And where else is the information being put into this matrix not correct?
So it sounds like you're keen to defer, Councillor Leskin.
Yeah, I would like to, because...
accordingly to a
yes,
particular
please.
Meeting.
How long will it take to make sure the information's up to date?
The second meeting in June, for example? Is this another case where you want to go through a round of ward briefings and bring it back to 14th or 28th of June? Mr. Lyons, any preference?
Not so much about a date, but I'd be very, very happy to receive input from elected members as to corrections or input on all of these, and I'd be happy to turn that around fairly quickly.
Well, 14th of June allows for ward briefings. No?
That's fine. Could we have a breakdown in the spreadsheet by ward, so it'd just be a bit easier?
Certainly what... Yeah. Okay. Certainly, what we're aiming for here is to correct inaccuracies, not to fight for particular things in particular wards, because that just goes on forever. But the motion is there. Is it seconded to defer to 14th of June? Councillor Hull, deferring.
Things to ward briefings.
Are you seconding the motion?
Well, as long as the ward briefings are going to allow the capacity for us to do it.
Well, I'll take that as a question of staff. That's a fair question. Can ward briefings, you know, cater for these additional items that are coming up through the council? I'm getting shaking heads from elected members. Mr. Scott?
I think Councillor Hull's for the chair that this is going to have to be a priority.
This is number one priority in the ward briefings that we have. And the tennis.
So I take that as commander's intent. Take you back to another day. If that's the commander's intent, I'm happy to second the motion.
I'll put the motion, those in favour. Those against, that's carried by majority. So the item is deferred. Now, members, we come to a bit of a crossroads. We've got 5 or 10 minutes of the meeting remaining. There's a lot of material which is relatively time sensitive. And I think what we're heading to, given that we don't have another general council meeting scheduled until end of May, I think we're looking at a special general council meeting to basically finish this agenda plus deal with the Mitchell Park issue, which was taken off the agenda partly because one of the ward councillors was away this evening, but also because the agenda was so packed as it is. So, you know, if we were to extend to finish all business, honestly, we'll be here till midnight, I suspect, because there are a couple of thorny issues there. I'm told that one of the more urgent items remaining is the open space budget or carryover issue. We could maybe just deal with that, but I'm in the meeting's hands, and nobody wants to come back for another meeting, nobody wants to go to midnight, but also there are some things here that we just can't leave. So I'll just informally, I think, take some views from the floor, what we do. Councillor Valescu? Okay, if we're looking, well, can I just check with staff? What I've been told is the most urgent probably being Capital Works Open Space. What about the confidential items? But, I mean, they will take an awfully long time. Very long issue. Very soon, I know. I mean, folks, we're looking... I mean, if we have a special general council meeting, we need one actually fairly soon. But we'll have to go through the timetable exercise of working out when people are available and when they aren't over the next week or so. Tuesdays are getting difficult. Shall we just extend the meeting to deal with the open space budget issue and then work out a special general meeting?
I'm to deal with those, like...
We're doing the confidential items. Look, you've got more than an hour there, I would suggest.
Items that need to be addressed today, or...?
Just the most... Well, I mean, there's a couple that would be unfortunate to miss, like the Woodford Reserve tennis courts. Finance and energy efficient buildings could be put off for a short time.
Your Worship, I'd like to see personally the Woodford Reserve tennis courts issue dealt with, the open space issue, and if time sensitive, and only if time sensitive, the confidential items. Personally, I just think those two issues
will
be moved forward.
They would be critical to deal with before the end of May. So definitely, if we don't deal with them tonight, if we deal with them tonight, you're looking at maybe an 11 o'clock finish, and I'd certainly want a 5-minute break before we embark on that. If you want a special general council meeting, we just deal with the open space one. Councillor Piper, what's your view?
Just a question. If we plough through, does that therefore avert the need to have a special general?
If we dealt with Woodford Reserve tennis courts, open space works program, and the confidential items, finance report can wait or not? It can. Then the only other matter would be Mitchell Park, where I've talked about with staff penciling in 6:30, 10th of May at the beginning of the elected members forum. Right, so that wouldn't actually mean extra councillor time as such. So we would still do that as a special, but it wouldn't mean an entirely separate meeting.
Your Worship, my preference would be to plough through if we have to. And I don't want to be coming back within the next week, basically.
That might be popular. You know, is that where people are heading? Nodding? Yes? Okay. So, Councillor Valeska, your motion is to deal with those four items?
Move an extension of time to deal with those four items.
And that's seconded, Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. Would someone like to move a 5-minute adjournment? Councillor Valeska, seconded Councillor Appleby. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Meeting's adjourned for 5 minutes. Valeska and Appleby, you've got the extension.
Yes.
Good.
Very good.
Okay.
So, have you got the form?
Yeah, no, a friend of ours died with suicidal pancreatic cancer, currently 63, I think. Life's not nice at times. Too far from the Canterbury, you know what it's like, brothers. When you come, so when you come in from Adelaide, on the Adelaide Road, that's the Kraken, and then if you head around to Encounter Bay, you've got two options as you head out of it. One of them is to go to Pat Jervis.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
or you can head back through the so where that forks off, if you head around the road and starts going down a little bit, just a little bit around the corner, there's the Victor Golf Club, and out the back of that, there's just quite a number of large properties, and they just come out the back there, so it's only 45 minutes from home, and you're still like 5 miles away. That's really good. It is. It's beautiful. Really, really good. So we enjoy it.
I call the meeting to order after that flexible 5 minute break, and we have four items of business to deal with. We're now on page 110 of the agenda, dealing with the Woodford Reserve tennis courts. This is one where it might be beneficial to hear first from staff. Perhaps Ms. Hampton could give us a brief summary.
We know what we're going to do.
Or at least be available for questions, because I think I have someone who wants to move a motion. Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, I've sent staff a recommendation on the proposal made.
We'll just see if we can locate that. May need to be written out in hand according to our technology.
Well, for benefit of elected members, it's basically number two and number three.
Right. Well, we're... is that where you see one and two there now on the screen? Is that it, more or less?
Yeah, that's the motion I'd like to move, right. Please.
I'll just... test the waters. Is that seconded? Councillor Telfer. I'll get back to you. Councillor Crossland, please carry on.
Yeah, basically, obviously, we're going through the tennis review, which this tennis facility will be considered. I don't believe there's any advantage to going back towards an agreement with a club which handed back the keys, wouldn't pay their rent or maintain the club. I think that would not look very good in the eyes of the public, and it's not a good standard to set to other clubs. Until this has been decided, I'm sure there are other opportunities for bigger clubs. I know there are clubs currently having to operate in other council areas due to lack of facilities. So I believe that staff should be able to negotiate with other clubs to take over this court and maybe actually improve it.
There are other clubs out there that are keen to look at this site as part of the tennis and netball review. They must be considered.
Anyone opposing the motion? Question, Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, given that not so long ago in the heyday there was great fanfare in the naming rights of this particular club, the mayor drove that with the Woodford family. Was there any discussion with the peak bodies, going back to my earlier position about using those peak bodies, in terms of why we ended up in this position and how we can better use this resource?
I'll ask Ms. Hampton to assist.
There hasn't been a discussion with peak bodies. I think what has happened over time, there has been a breakdown in communication on both sides, from the administration as well as the club, and it has been challenging to work with the club to reach agreement.
Questions, or is anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Bliskin?
And With the first part of the motion, short-term uses until the outcome of the tennis review are determined, does that preclude any arrangement for the long-term use of it until that review is finished?
What that is literally saying is that until the review is concluded, agreements can be made, but they would be short-term, not long-term, or not 5-year leases, for example.
Well, I guess if there is interest in this site, which requires some capital expenditure for the clubs, and it's sort of, why would you want to limit that? Wouldn't it be better to, instead of until, as part of the tennis and netball review?
So, I mean, I suppose where you could carry forward that position two ways, Councillor Lesko. You could either move an amendment which took out the references to short term, or you could foreshadow that if the motion is lost, you would move a motion which allowed for longer term leases.
I guess I'd like to ideally authorise administration to the first bit's fine, and then it would be determine the future use of the site in conjunction with the tennis and netball review, and that leaves it open for both short-term and long-term use, and it's part of it in parallel. It will be decided by council anyway.
And I would suggest that wording as an amendment would need to come in after the first line of paragraph one.
Yes.
Because that talks about short-term uses. The governance manager raises the question of whether it's a direct opposition. I don't believe it is, because it's substantially the same outcome, but the question of new users is whether short or long-term leases should be made available. So I consider it of the same nature but a different degree. Councillor Blesko, I just want to make sure that you have the wording you want up on the screen. I don't think that was the wording. It was, and it started with determine.
The future use of the site in conjunction with the tennis and netball review. So it still takes part of it, but if something's worked out before that review's over, why should we have to wait? Why should people have to wait? And I think that's been the general gist of it.
Right. I'll let you speak further if you wish, but I'll just see if there's a seconder to your motion. Councillor Appleby. Now, Councillor Crossland did want to speak, but was it a point of order?
It is a point of order.
Yes?
I believe that is a total opposite, because this is really to limit the use pending the outcome of the review. Whereas if you look at long-term use, you could be completely going against the review process and lock in a club to a facility that the review identifies that we need to get rid of.
So yes, I don't uphold the point of order, because the wording suggested in the amendment is in conjunction with, delete the word until, the outcome of the tennis and netball review. So clearly it's part of the review, and if the review therefore found that there would be no tennis use, for example, that could still be part of the tennis and netball review. But if there was a... determine the future use.
I guess the only thing is that it says until the end of the review. And the thing is, through the review process, it might be determined whether it's worth proceeding. So I guess this motion just limits it, and I'm afraid that's the issue. And I don't think I can't speak for Councillor Crossland on that. Ultimately, if there could be an arrangement that is within the spirit of the review that can happen before the actual review is over, why wouldn't you proceed on it? as with other things that come up during the process of the review, that could have been acted on beforehand.
Yeah, well, as I said, I don't uphold the point of order, so at this moment we have a live amendment and we vote on the amendment. So those in favour of the Valescu amendment, raise your hand. Yes. It does include point two, which is what to enter into short-term hire agreements as an interim arrangement.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take the vote again because that needs to be up on the board. Okay, those in favour of the amendment, raise your hands. Those against the amendment, raise your hands. The amendment is lost. Those who haven't spoken may speak to the original motion if they wish. Except Councillor Blescu has spoken. Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, there's really not much in this between the motion and the amendment. The intent is the same.
I think it is.
And, you know, I just think that this is a great case in question where the original motion earlier tonight, where the staff wanted to do a complete review, this would have been one of the ones to look at. This club was named after one of the Wimbledon champions. On an international scale, great fanfare, a lot of press and all that went along with this particular club, and here we are now. What happened? Why did we end up in this situation, and why weren't the police tennis SA involved in this? Wonder what the actual family think about the demise of the club as well, with their name attached to it. So, I just hope that this is sorted out earlier than...
That was speaking in favour of the motion. Is there anyone speaking against the motion who hasn't spoken? No, well, I'll ask... I don't think anyone did speak against other than the amendment. But Councillor Crossland, anything to finish with?
Happy for the motion to be put.
All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against? That's carried by majority. Thank you. Now we turn to the open space issue on page 120 of the agenda. I'll start off with any questions. Any questions? Otherwise, I'll look to someone to move. Councillor Westwood. The biggest option. Could you be more specific? Well, I think that's option three you're after. That's a lot of projects, right? I'll just test if that's seconded. Councillor Gard, you have a question. I'll come back. Is option three seconded? Councillor Pfeiffer, I'll come back to you, Councillor Gard. Councillor Westwood, would you like to speak to the motion, please?
Yes, I'm particularly concerned about work not being done. I'm sure, no intention, of course, you know. But if there's not enough staff, if there's not enough resources of other types, you know, equipment, materials, and we've got the money, go and get them, whatever it needs. If it's going to cost us a lot more to do it with contractors than it is with our own workers, and we have to wait for a little while, I can understand that. But I think there's a lot of there is work, I think, that's not being done that should be done. And the principle I particularly promote is that if we collect money from our ratepayers, we should not be hanging on to it unless we need to, in particular. And that's it. So I want to spend the money if the ratepayers have given it to us to spend on them. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just point out, in moving for option three, that paragraph three is not required, I'm told, by Mr. Mifsud. Amended or deleted? I'll just check with him. all we've done is put in the, I suppose, the budget implications of option three.
Sounds fair to me.
Yep.
Thank you.
And when the minutes are printed, if the more full description of option three can be described, I think that's a clerical thing. I don't think it needs to be specified in the motion. Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. I do support Councillor Westwood in moving option three. Look, I cast my mind back probably five and a half years ago to the period during Skull of the First. And I remember asking Adrian, I think it was before my first budget, possibly my second, you know, we've got these carryovers year after year. What do you need to ensure that we can get the job done and start getting out of this carryover territory and actually get the work done that we're promising to the community? This is what this report's all about. We've promised all this stuff. We've said that we're going to do it. Frankly, I don't want to be the one to put my hand up, you know, in 2 years' time and say, yep, we said we'd do it, but we didn't do it because we didn't resource it properly. That's what this is all about. And, you know, to say that in the report it says that option one is prudent and efficient, well, it's just basically cutting things out. That's not exactly prudent and efficient. That's just not doing stuff or doing it much, much later. So, look, I'm quite enthusiastically supporting option three.
There was a question from Councillor Gard.
I had a series of questions, Your Worship. I think
you're allowed three.
Yeah. Right.
Like the three wishes of the genie in the bottle or something.
Why am I not surprised? That's one, isn't it? I wanted to refer to the opening dot points. Main reasons for these carryovers are large projects requiring multi-year project development and implementation not adequately reflected in the budgeting process, resource availability not matched with project delivery requirements. I wanted to know if those two matters concerning carryovers have been addressed. That was the first question.
Dixon?
Thank you. Second question. In relation to the discussion points on options 1, 2 and 3, I was wanting to know before, I just found it hard to line them up without knowing what the long-term perspective was in order to achieve our rate of projects over a period of time. Surely there is a sense within the administration of how many we ought to be looking at. I know they are all varying in size, but just looking at it notionally.
Second question.
What is the option? What is the most appropriate option given our long-term settings? And the third was, are those options aligned with streetscaping projects that are also needed? Because there is interrelationship between open space and streetscaping. So has that matrix been looked at?
Ms. Dixon or Ms. Harvey?
Yes, thank you, through the Chair. In terms of your first point, what would be, I guess, the most appropriate level of programs or projects on the go? It depends very much on the size of the projects. We would work towards four small sort of local play spaces each year, and going to a three-year programming cycle would mean planning in the first year and delivery in the second year for those small-scale projects. However, the larger-scale projects such as Halico Foreshore would carry over, as you would be aware, yep, over a number of years. So it's very much dependent on the size and scale of the project. In terms of streetscaping, we're definitely looking at the streetscaping work that Ms. Delgado is proposing and how that aligns with our open space. So that alignment will happen through the streetscaping project.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mifsud, to add?
If I can, through the Chair, just provide a further point of clarity. I just want to highlight to members that with the extra $1.2 million over 3 years, excuse me, depending on how those resources are acquired, whether they be through contractors or if they're internally employed, if they are internally employed, which is no issue with that, obviously, it's under council resolution, then that is will have a direct impact on council's assumption for employee costs. So please be aware of that as well.
Councillor Hull, a question or speaking against the motion?
No, it's a question. Mr. Mayor, the Oaklands Estate upgrade was a carryover from last year. It's about $400,000, something like that. I need to ask this question from a strategic point of view, particularly after what we just went through with the Oaklands Plaza, where it's deemed, well, it's not really good enough, but that's not what we really wanted. And going back to the recent debate about people willing to travel further as a point of destination for playgrounds and that, I have to ask this question. Rather than spend $400,000, which is not going to actually, it's going to give you some plastics, bigger plastic seats and, you know, a few signs and stuff like that, it's not going to deliver what you want. Is there an opportunity for us to be more strategic about this money now, particularly in the fullness of time when we've had an opportunity to consider the consequences of actually doing things properly? And you know, like Jessica Leo, a journalist with the Messenger
Councillor
Press,
Hull, raises this point. A question or is this your contribution to the debate?
I'd like to know whether it's better for us to actually hold off on expending this $400,000 as a good case in question, because it's a regional playground, to actually find better money to go towards it, to do it properly. Because we're looking at $3 million to actually reach the community expectations and anywhere near where Jessica Leo is talking about in terms of what amenity the community want these days.
Any managers wish to comment?
Thank you, through the Chair. The programs provided in Option 2 and 3 that include the Oaklands Estate Reserve do reflect the current scale of that project, so the $450,000, and then looking for a match contribution from state government, so a $900,000 project. If Council wishes to look at a review of the scope of that, certainly we could incorporate that into the program starting in not this coming financial year but the following financial year, so there would be an opportunity to work that process through with Council.
Any further questions?
Another question? Mr. Mayor, I have to ask this question, and the credit needs to go back to you, I believe. The question of, in terms of activating the Oaklands Plaza, the Domain Plaza, I believe it was your idea of actually putting a playground in there. Is that correct? And could that be something we could work on?
Well, it is correct. I believe that would be an ideal place for a regional playground. But you've had your second question.
I got an answer. Thank you.
Councillor Crossland, question or against the...
Two questions.
Yep.
The first, the staff costs, which are on the graph we've got, are they either... I know we got a comment they could be contractors, and I'm guessing if they're internal staff, it would be temporary staff. Is that correct?
Your Worship, that's correct. We wouldn't employ people past that three-year deadline.
My second question is on the total resource cost, and this has come up a number of times. Is that the total resource cost and cost to council within the long-term financial plan? Because these are building assets, and I'm guessing they're going to impact on the long-term financial plan as well. But I can't see that impact in the report.
Yes, thank you, through the Chair. You're correct that we'd have to include whole-of-life costs as each project is developed and brought back to Council. So they're not included. These are just staffing costs.
Move a motion that we move into confidence as per on the board for this matter.